We have a quorum. We have one proclamation proclaiming August 13th to 19th National Health Center Week in Lincoln County. And Cheryl, welcome to come forward. Bill, would you like to read this one?
It would be a pleasure. Whereas National Health Center Week offers the opportunity to recognize America's health centers, their dedicated staff, board members, and all those responsible for their continued success and growth since the first health centers opened their doors more than 50 years ago. And whereas the Lincoln Community Health Center, our local health center, is celebrating its 11th year of providing high-quality primary care, behavioral health and addictions, immunizations, and maternity case management services to members of the community. And whereas health centers deserve to be recognized and supported for their efforts in expanding capacity and providing individuals in underserved communities and underserved populations with equal access to essential health care services, regardless of their ability to pay, now therefore be it resolved that the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners declares August 13th through 19th, 2017, as National Health Center Week in Lincoln County, Oregon. During this National Health Center Week, we celebrate the legacy of America's health centers and their vital role in shaping the future of America's health care system. We encourage all citizens to join in this observance and to celebrate the important partnership between America's health centers and the communities they serve.
Well, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Commissioners, for declaring August 13th through 19th as Health Center Week in Lincoln County. And, of course, thank you, Commissioner Hall, for reading the proclamation in your radio voice. I'm Cheryl Connell, Director of Lincoln County Health and Human Services. And this is Rebecca McBee Wilson, the Executive Director of Lincoln Community Health Center and our Health and Human Services Primary Care Division Director. As Commissioner Hall already read in the proclamation, we are here today to celebrate 11 years of our federally qualified health center, Lincoln Community Health Center. Our health center has been serving a wide variety of physical health, dental health, mental health and addiction needs, as well as immunizations, maternity case management for our patients in Lincoln County. We do serve the primary health care needs of all ages, as well as the mental health and addiction services of all ages, regardless of their ability to pay, insurance status, citizenship status, or language challenges. This is all an important part of our mission at Lincoln Community Health Center. We have clinics in Toledo, Newport, Walport, and Lincoln City to help patients access our services. We have dedicated staff who work together in teams to deliver high-quality, affordable services, as well as referral to specialty care when needed. The other thing that I want to recognize today is the work that our Lincoln Community Health Council does to help support the mission of our health centers. They are a board that is considered an empowered board. They have authority over certain parts of operations, and as you know, you share that authority with them. So it's important to understand, too, that not only do we have you as the Board of Commissioners that we report to and we are here to make sure you understand about our services, but we also do that with our very vigorous and involved Health Council. So it's great to be here. 11 years is a great time to be having these services available in our community. And our services at Lincoln Community Health Center are covered all by the fees and grants that we get to be able to support all of the services that are happening, both in primary care, behavioral health, immunization, addictions, and maternity case management. So, Rebecca, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you. Well, I'm happy to be here to tell you about all of our good work As Cheryl mentioned, you know, we are a co-applicant, a public entity, and the community, Lincoln Community Health Council is part of that, but you are as well. And so I thought you might be interested to know some specific facts about what we were doing during the last year. So I brought some demographic information. So I wanted, you know, in Oregon, there's 33 FQHCs, federally qualified health centers, also known as health centers. And last year, Oregon saw about 400,000, and across the United States, there's 25 to 26 million people seen, one out of 12 people seen at for health services or seen at an FQHC. But here in Lincoln County last year, we saw 5,078 people in the health center. So that is a large part of the county here. And so our goal with HRSA, and HRSA is Health Resources Service Administration, was that we would see 5,066 people. So we exceeded that by 12 people. We're very happy about that. Now, we, as Cheryl mentioned, we see people for a variety of things. Last year, 4,720 people, according to the UDS data, was seen for physical health services. And that includes a wide range of medical services, acute, chronic care management, family planning, immunizations. It's just a medical clinic, and it provides all those services, referrals to specialty care. And then 2,563 individuals received mental health services. Another 366 people received substance abuse services in our co-occurring disorder program. And then we have something called enabling services. They're really important to a federally qualified health service because a lot of our folks don't have resources and they need help getting to the centers. They need help in terms of stabilization for a lot of mental health issues. And so we have staff that provide these additional services, and that was with 407 individuals received those to help keep them out of crisis, keep them out of the hospital. Those were really important. So as a total, we saw 5,078 people we saw, there were a total of 28,236 visits. So we were busy. And then just to say a little bit, you know, we as a health center, we're here because for two reasons. One of them, there's a high proportion of folks in this area who would not receive services unless we had the health center here. That's why HRSA has deemed us a FQHC. Also, as you know, there's just not enough providers in this area or across the United States to provide the services that are needed. So in terms of that, 3,436 of the 5,077 seen were 100% at or below federal poverty guidelines. So we're providing a huge services for individuals because many of those would not be able to be seen. We have a sliding fee scale. And when people come and they're at 100% or below, they only pay a copay of $5. So that really makes the services available and manageable for them. We work with them in terms of providing, you know, billing. They can pay just a small amount each month. We don't want any barriers that would keep them from being as healthy as they can be. So, and then the good news. Last year, we submitted our grant, so we were approved for another 3 years. So, and the good news about that is we talked to HRSA, the representative, the project officer, and he said, you all should be quite proud that you had an excellent submission. We find nothing, you have no conditions on your grant. And we have to do a couple of things. So we're going to identify colorectal cancer as something we'd like to see you improve. And when I talked to them, I had that data on my desk, and I said, well, already we're up 12% from last year. So I think that
in terms of screenings?
In terms of screenings.
Right now we're at 40% on our colorectal cancer screenings. So we're doing quite well. So I'm proud of the things that we offer at our health center and the good care we provide.
Doug, are you? A couple of questions. The statistics that you provided, is that for the fiscal year 2016, calendar year 2016?
That was from January 1st to December 31st.
Oh,
so
2016.
It was 2016.
Okay. And then you said, I forget the percentage, but you identified a percentage of screenings for colorectal cancer.
Yes, right now we're, that's one of the many screenings that preventative. We have a number of preventative clinical performance measures and also chronic care management performance measures. And we have to turn those in every year. And so right now, that's one of the many. We have a lot. That's one of them. We're at 40%. Last year, we were at 27% range. So we've already gone up 12%. The year's not over.
A couple of follow-up questions. Number one, you say 40% of what? I mean, is 100% everybody in the county? Everybody?
No, I'm sorry. 40% of the patients we see.
Okay.
Because this is a clinical metric that's pretty much across the United States in primary care, and so everybody's looking at this, but of our patients.
Okay.
Yes.
And again, the it's specific to a particular age group, too.
Right.
So we are screening 40% of that population that it's recommended get screened for colorectal cancer screening.
Been there, done that.
Now, that's the clinical measure they're going to focus on. There's a financial measure. They're also going to look at just how much does it cost to for a medical visit for your patients. And so they'll be tracking that as well.
So what are some of the other areas that you focus on as far as preventative treatment, I guess, or exams?
Well, we do screens for depression. We do screens for cervical cancer. We refer out for that. Some of the chronic care illnesses that we are managing that they monitor is our diabetes, hypertension, asthma.
Good.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question which is actually to relay an answer that I gave to a constituent recently, and I want to make sure that I answered correctly. And with all the federal discussion about health care and the federal budget, they asked, you know, did this threaten our FQHCs? And I said, well, as far as I know, the HRSA grant program, which is the resolution mentioned, is more than 50 years old. That is not something that's been proposed for cut. But any potential reductions in Medicaid could affect our bottom line because it's a multi-pronged stool that supports the operation of the center, not only the HRSA grant, but any private insurance fees, as well as Medicaid payments. And if we did see a significant reduction in our clientele on Medicaid, wouldn't that necessarily have a negative impact on our bottom line and our continued robust viability?
So the answer to the question is, it depends. You know, one of the things that we have been really working in the community with is developing some community partnerships with, say, IHNCCO, but also with the state of Oregon to be able to help support the screening services that we are doing. So there probably would be some sort of reduction. It's difficult to really gauge what that would be like because we do also have other means of support, financial support to do that. You know, the other thing, too, is that when we do have individuals that are coming in that don't have any health insurance but might be able to afford a little bit higher than the minimum payment, then we would be charging them who maybe before had Medicaid something higher than the $5 fee for their services if their income was that. It's not going to make up the amount, but it would help to do that. The other thing, too, that we are very good at doing is helping to get reimbursement for incentives for meeting the health metrics through our CCO, our community, our coordinated care organization, and through the state as well. So we do have some other abilities to make up that funding, but in all likelihood, we would see something reduction, if depending on how severe it was in Washington. And if you can figure that out, let me know.
Okay, thank you.
So maybe's the answer.
Yeah, exactly. or it's complicated is the answer. There is no clear yes or no.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
If I might, sure. I was just thinking more about your question. We do, some of the others that you might be interested in are adolescent weight management. Everyone who comes in, we do, we weigh them, kind of do get their body mass index, and we do counseling. We have to do counseling with everyone that we speak to under the age of 17, you know. We also do it for adults, but that's a little bit different, but we want to make sure that they have a healthy weight. We do counseling with them as well. Smoking cessation, of course, with our county being so high, number of people who smoke, we do that as well. And so that's just some of the ones that we also do.
Those are important.
We do really well on those. We're in our screenings, we're up in the 89, low 90 percentile on screenings of everybody that comes in.
Excellent.
Thank you.
I'll move for approval of the resolution proclaiming August 13 through 19, 2017 as National Health Center Week in Lincoln County.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
Good results.
We now move down to the adoption of the consent calendar. And consent calendar is a long 3 pages this time, or 2.5 pages. Is there anything you'd like to highlight or make comments on?
I'll move for approval of the consent calendar.
And I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. We're at a public hearing for commission recommendation to approve an exemption to the statewide planning goal 16, that's the Estuary Resources Comprehensive Plan Amendment 03TA-17.
Mr. Chair, we have a hearing procedure on this piece of paper. If you could open the hearing for us.
Okay. Open the hearing. And any commissioners wish to declare any conflicts, abstentions, or ex parte contact?
No.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, if I might for you, this is a public hearing on Lincoln County case file number 3TA-17 to consider recommendations from the Lincoln County Planning Commission to approve a request by the applicant, which is the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, for an exception to statewide planning goal number 16. This is processed as a comprehensive plan amendment under Lincoln County's code, chapter 1. The exception is required to authorize a small cut and fill to create a boat ramp for the general public to launch non-motorized watercraft on the Siletz River. The project is located within the Siletz National Wildlife Refuge as an extension to the existing access for the Millport Slough portion of the Siletz Bay. So it's just off the southeast side of the Millport Slough Bridge. And I don't know that we have any maps for you today.
I have
some maps, good. If you need further clarification of where exactly that is. The Planning Commission held a hearing on the request on June 12, 2017 and adopted findings, conclusions, and a final order recommending the request on June 22, 2017. There wasn't an appeal of the Planning Commission's decision and recommendation, but because this matter involves a goal exception and a comprehensive plan amendment, the Board of Commissioners is also required to hold a public hearing, which we're doing today. And I'll describe the hearing procedure. I would like to note first for the record, I'll enter the Planning Department file in this matter, which includes, of course, their findings, conclusions, and final order, and then all the supplemental materials that they put into the record for the hearing, and then the notice of hearing for this particular hearing held by the Board of Commissioners. What you'll do today is receive the Planning Department staff report from Hoy Radomski or both, in which they'll talk about the application history, the applicable criteria, and provide us other information. And then we can go down and, Mr. Chair, you'll ask for the applicant's testimony and evidence and the opponent's testimony and evidence. If necessary, in rebuttal testimony, close the hearing and then begin your deliberations. So at this point, we can start with the staff report.
Okay. Good morning. My name is Hoy Radomski. I'm an associate planner with the planning department. And as Wayne Belmont has said, that the request is for is made by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to request cut and fill to create a boat ramp for non-motorized watercrafts launching and coming back at the Millport Slough Lane. They have a boat launch there. If you could look at the packets I just handed out, there's three pages. The first one is basically our zoning map. And so the blue is the marine waterway zone. And anything within the marine waterway is subject to the Lincoln County Estuary Management Plan. And at this location, the Celeste Bay Management Unit 5, cut and fill is categorically prohibited under statewide planning goal 16, estuary resources. And if you look at the next two pages, these are the first two pages of the document, the application document that the applicant provided, and provides a better view of where the boat ramp is and the view of the location and the slough and the water. So you have the aerial photo on the cover page, and the project location is in the red triangle. And so you see Highway 101 and then the spur road that's going off that. And page two is more of a general map of the entire refuge and where the location of the boat ramp is.
Can I ask a question on this boat ramp? That's a shallow slough. Mm-hmm. So this is strictly non-motorized?
Strictly non-motorized, launching at this location.
And how will that be? Because there's, at high tide, there'll be motorized vessels that want to use that.
I believe the configuration of the boat ramp does not provide for access to any motorized launching. And the applicant can maybe address that more clearly. I believe it excludes it by the configuration of the boat ramp.
Okay. Commissioner, I think you'll see with their presentation and that this is quite unlike a traditional boat ramp where someone would sort of feel inclined to put a rig in the water and back into it to be able to winch out a motorized craft. It really is a very different kind of experience there with how you walk up into it and the so. But let's. I think Hui is correct. Let's let the applicants address that during their presentation.
Okay. Any other question before I move on?
No.
Okay. So I was just going to out of the list of applicable criteria, which is in your packets. I was just going to point you to one, and that is Oregon Administrative Rule. Let's see, let me get my number out here. 660-004-0022. Reasons necessary to justify an exception under Goal 2, Part 2C. And within that OAR, Subsection 8, Goal 16, and then within the Subsection 8, the little d, it says that an exception to allow minor fill, dredging, or other minor alteration of a natural management unit for a boat ramp, or to allow piling and shoreline stabilization for a public fishing pier. So this OAR basically allows for the minor cut and fill for a boat ramp in a natural management unit for within the estuary management plan, which management unit 5 of the Celeste Bay is. So, let's see. On June 12th, the Planning Commission met and considered this case, and they voted to move forward with it. And on June 22nd, the Planning Commission approved the findings of case file 03-TA-17 and recommended to the Board of Commissioners. So, any other questions I can provide at this point?
Was there any testimony in support or opposition from the public?
Yes, so the testimony in support was just an applicant and no other support parties present, and there was no opposition present.
Thank you.
That of all of your testimony?
You look shocked. I'd be pleased to go on and on, but I don't think that would be necessarily welcome in a situation like this.
So, if I may, I have a question or clarification. In reading the material, it talks about where I lost it. Oh, car top boat ramp. So are we talking about car top vehicles versus towed vehicles?
I'm not sure what the car top terminology is referring to, but that's the applicant's term, so maybe he can address that when he approaches.
Well, the commissioner, we all realize that there's been such an explosion of the interest in these small kayak,
right.
You know, so you basically take them off the top of a car.
Right.
We see them on the top of the car. We also see some people are towing a framework behind them in a little trailer that has maybe four or five of these
Good
things.
Point.
But it's really that's exactly you're going to bring your almost always these kayak type things. Literally one or two people carrying them to the water's edge and then embarking there and then coming in. And that's why it really is kind of, you know, it looks very different to what they're proposing than the conventional boat ramp, which is you got a big rig and you're running a watercraft you're backing in, as Terry has done
a
million times.
The reason why my question, just so you know, and I'll ask for further explanation, I used a non-motorized vehicle or vessel for years with my long 21-foot rowboats that are towed, and that should be legal there. I can literally pick it up and carry it to the water if I have to, but it takes three guys to do it. But they're and they make 6 knots rowing. They're a lot faster than these little boats that these guys run. And I ran all over this country in headwaters and been literally in every estuary in Lincoln County with it. And I wouldn't want to see that type of craft eliminated, because to me, if you can row a boat big enough, you should be able to, it's a non-motorized, it should be a qualified.
I remember many years ago taking a journey with you once when we first met. That was quite memorable in that vessel. So, yeah. I would address that to the applicant of how someone like you might, what the do's and don'ts are there. But it's very clear that the goal and this special OAR carve-out that sort of signals that this is one of the rare times that we would allow for a goal, because in 5 years that I've been here, we have not had a goal exception come before you. They're really quite rare. They have to be very factually grounded. There needs to be a compelling case that you need to relax the goal. In this case, the protection of that estuary, for a very limited public purpose. And they'll walk through the criteria, they had to prove that they, you know, there was no other place that didn't require a goal exception to do this. So there's been, you know, quite a factual, you know, vetting that goes where if you even get to a point where you're going to do a goal exception. So, but your question is really an operational question that I think needs to be addressed to the applicant.
Yeah. So, at this point, we received testimony from the applicant.
Good morning. My name is Kelly Maroney. I'm the manager of the Oregon Coast National Wildlife Refuge Complex, including Siletz Bay National Wildlife Refuge. Some of the questions that were asked, I'm wondering, is there any way I could put some PowerPoint in to show in a presentation the limitations of the site? I think it would better illustrate some of the current concerns that came out.
Okay, break. I'll let you do that.
Yeah, okay, get it set up. And would you make sure your site?
I'm sure I was going to put the presentation up, but based on some of the questions, I think it might be helpful. Just
we
kind of
reconvene. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Okay, we'll reconvene. Go ahead.
Casey, are you rolling again?
Yep.
Just a little background on the refuge. It was established in 91 to protect and enhance estuarine and resources for fish and wildlife. Currently a little over 500 acres on Siletz Bay National Wildlife Refuge. Supports a large number of anadromous fish and other estuarine-dependent species. We completed a comprehensive conservation plan, which is a 15-year management plan in 2013. The primary goals were land protection, restore and protect tidal estuary habitat, protect tidal wetlands, and develop visitor service facilities. This project that's before you is it's basically phase two of a multi-benefit project that we completed last year with 12 very diverse partners, including Sportsmen's Group, Watershed Councils, Public Works, and other conservation groups. This is the concept. I think I met with Super Commissioner Hall back in 2015 to go over this. It basically depicts the traffic safety signs on 101, a new parking lot, a trailhead around Alder Island, and a boat ramp, a car top boat ramp. This is the design of the structure that was built in 2016. Pretty limited in terms of the footprint. We were limited to the old Highway 101, and that kind of goes to some of the questions in terms of the ability for trailers to turn around. We did have our engineers look at design for some type of a turnaround where we could have trailers that could back in. We looked at options for excess parking on the straightaway to put a trailer, but it was pretty limited. We had stormwater runoff requirements that took up some of the space, but in terms of the width of the old Highway 101, there really wasn't much room from an engineering standpoint to design the ability to allow for trailers. In fact, the access, according to the engineers, is limited to vehicles no longer than 25 feet. So it cannot accommodate an RV. And that was basically what we had to work with. This is what it looks like, the entrance sign and the access in. You can see the roadway in is pretty narrow, and it narrows down at the parking lot. This is the trailhead, or the design for the trailhead and the tidal restoration that was developed or constructed in 2016. We've had a great response from the public. Based on our traffic counters, we're estimating up to 15,000 people visiting the site annually. We also reached out to the local youth corps to have them assist in construction of the walking trail. This is some photos of the tidal restoration we also included in the project last year. Top left, you can see the before, and bottom right, the after from connecting, basically breaching a levee around Alder Island and connecting tidal flows into the interior. Here's the project we're here to talk about today. It's basically phase two. The design, the current design of the boat ramp or car top access for water sports really doesn't meet the need in terms of safe access to the site. Part of the work that the refuge did was quite a bit of extensive research on the both county and state planning documents. Both planning documents stress the importance of providing water access that's affordable and available to people with disabilities. So that is how we tried to design this structure to provide for safe access. It's open 7 days a week, free of charge to the general public, and it's the design is for mobility impaired individuals as well. This is basically what it looks like now. The original design, I don't think, really took into consideration the vertical bank into Millport Slough. It's basically a straight drop-off. You could certainly put your boat in the water at high tide in the wintertime, but if you didn't get back there within a couple hours, you'd have a pretty good climb, which is not the type of facility that we want to manage or support. So we went back to the drawing board, and we hired a engineering firm that works in estuary conditions and did a bioengineering project. We tried to avoid any hardening of the bank with traditional riprap, so we incorporated fish-friendly type structures using large wood and root wads as bank stabilization, and that was based on recommendations from ODFW's fisheries biologists who reviewed and support this project. And what we hope to do is provide, as Anno had mentioned earlier, kayaking and water sports are definitely exploding in not only Oregon coast but around the nation. And we think providing this benefit to the people of Lincoln County and the visitors in terms of tourism will certainly benefit the county. And it's a great place for people to connect with the outdoors. It's not only for kayakers, but it's also for fishermen and hunting access to our Millport Slough unit. And at this point, we think it's a benefit. And any other questions the commissioners might have, we're open to address them.
Nothing, sir.
We're fine.
Okay.
Okay. Good information.
And I'll receive testimony from...
Mr. Chair, I do know there's one other person in the back row that may want to testify, but maybe not. So just on the support side.
On the support side. Yeah. Okay, we'll take that support at this point then.
All right, looks like he doesn't pass.
Okay, we'll take any opponents of this project. Seeing no opponents, we don't need rebuttal. So I'll close the hearing and we'll begin deliberation.
Seems like a reasonable request.
Agreed.
I would like a little better definition of exactly what's a non-motorized vessel. There's some definitions. An electric motor qualifies as non-motorized. In other areas of the state, it's a isn't. I'd like that defined clearly for it.
Sure.
And I think vessels that are non-motorized shouldn't be eliminated from the spot if the person can figure out the way to get it in and in a safe manner. I don't like creating one thing that's just exclusive for one type of vessel. So that's a decision you guys will make, and I'll live with whatever you decide. But myself personally, I don't like it too restrictive as to a specific type of vessel, as long as it's not motorized. And that's just my opinion. Okay, good
morning. Are you ready for a motion, Mr.
I'm ready for a motion.
I would move to approve the application for a goal exception and comprehensive plan amendment as recommended by the Planning Commission in case file number 03-TA-17.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
Commissioners, all prepare an ordinance which accomplishes the comprehensive plan amendment. We'll move on from there.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Back down here to where we are. Decision and action
Mr.
items.
Chairman. Mr. Chair. Can we move the calendar around a little bit? We've got some folks that need to participate real quickly because they have another obligation here. Can we move down to item number, C?
Item C?
Purchase of property, so we can.
We can.
All right.
So we'll move down to the purchase of property and transitional housing and the community corrections.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. That's what you're Come on, Jim. Well, can you reopen the hearing, Mr. Chair? Have a motion from
reopen the previous hearing?
Yes, I'm sorry. Jim didn't hear.
You need
sorry.
A motion.
Okay.
Yeah, a motion to reopen the hearing.
I'll move to reopen the prior hearing on the full exception.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Well, I'll send supplemental testimony. Go ahead, Jim.
Reopen the hearing.
Thank you. My name is Jim Shaw from South Beach. And I came in support of the goal exception you just passed. I'm sorry I didn't hear you.
We apologize. We're supposed to have proper hearing. If you'd known, we'd have got you better hearing facilities here in the room.
Thank you. Anyway, I wanted to support the commissioner's approval, which you already did, which is great. This is the last step of about a two-year project, and I know Mr. Maloney didn't mention that, but I forgot how much money is going in there, $400,000 roughly, an amount of money. And this, yours is the last step of completing the project. And hopefully they're going to be able to get a bid to finish the launch ramp. That's the last thing that has to be done. And your gold exception will accomplish that. And the launch ramp itself and the gold exception is 10 feet wide by 12 inches or whatever that's covering to get this project completed. And they're planning a formal dedication coming up in the spring of 2018 after this ramp is finished. This is the last step. So in support of it, I appreciate the opportunity and for you to pass it. And for Commissioner Thompson, he can haul his 21-foot boat down there if he can find enough room. I'm not sure. So I do appreciate this final step, and hopefully we can get this project done. It's been a long time.
Thanks for the work you do on these projects, Jim.
Thank you.
I apologize that I missed you in the back of the room. Appreciate your testimony.
Thank you.
Okay,
close the hearing,
and we'll go back to item C, the purchase of property for transitional housing for community correction. And
I'm going to
open up the hearing first.
Yes. Is this a hearing, Wayne?
What we're going to do is offer an opportunity for everybody who's here to talk on this subject.
Good morning, Commissioners. Kristen Ewell, Assistant County Counsel.
Jennifer Landers, Community Corrections.
So this was on your agenda for discussion last week regarding the purchase of property in Newport, and that property is 516 Southeast First Street. And this is just to move forward with securing the property, closing, signing escrow.
Okay. Commissioners, you offered an opportunity for folks to come in and talk if they wanted to. I will tell you that, for the record, we received one inquiry. I actually responded to that inquiry. The person who had made the inquiry was mostly concerned about where was the property located. She wasn't able to find out where it was. When I told her where the property was located, she had no further comments.
Do you want to talk about that?
Did either of you have?
But you also were going to
talk about outreach.
Yeah, the outreach.
We did outreach to the neighbors. We were able to make contact. There's only three houses on that street besides the one we're looking at purchasing. And we were able to contact one more of the residents. There's still one resident we were not able to contact. We've made several attempts, left business cards. We left a flyer for her on her residence as well. I did speak to one resident yesterday who was a supporter of our program, and she was excited to hear that we were looking at opening a transition center. She actually is a supporter. She also hires people that are on supervision in her business. She's a local business owner, and so she did not have any objection. She was invited to the meeting today. I'm not sure if she's in the audience.
Did either of you have any contact?
I had no contact at all. I had an email from one resident who actually lives near the two men's houses, not directly expressing objections, but voicing some concerns, but not about the TAPS program, but not specifically supporting or opposing this purchase.
And I saw a letter that I think might contain some testimony, but it was just as I was walking out the door this morning to come to the office, so my wife had laid it on the table and I didn't get a chance to read it. So, but I have talked to a person that was somewhat concerned is the word I'd use.
Do you want to open it up to see if anybody?
See if there's anybody here.
So is there anyone here who would like to testify on this subject? Seeing none. So
you have an order before you which authorizes us to move forward with closing. We'll have to set up a time to sign the closing documents, which would be with Chair Thompson. To sign those documents, and that's it.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move that we move forward with this order authorizing purchase of this property at 516 Southeast 1st Street for women's transitional housing for community corrections.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, we move back to item B, the request for legalized ocean
view. Actually, we need to go by May.
Sorry. Oh, excuse me.
That's small gathering.
Yeah, there we go.
You guys do the small gathering ones. I apologize. I was trying to skip over you, but it's related to gatherings and outdoor mass gatherings, extending outdoor mass gathering permits. And Jerry Herbich, our lawyer, is here to educate us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am Jerry Herbich, an assistant county counsel, and we're here to talk about mass gatherings. And the first thing I'd like to say is it's not merely a Catholic thing, okay?
Oh, okay.
Just want to make sure you're awake.
She said they know Jerry is notorious for his puns and lightly concealed humor.
Okay.
Broadly defined.
This is a second reading, and so I think you have a protocol where if no one wants this read in its entirety, we could have a motion to read by title only, and then I, by law, have to go through the changes, but it'll be shorter than reading the whole thing.
So,
no, I don't need it read entirely.
Nor do I.
The record will reflect that.
Okay, great. There were a couple of cosmetic changes from the last time that are in this master, but I'll point those out. But really what I need to do legally is to point out the differences between what's in this ordinance and what was in the ordinance on June 14th, which was your first reading in Waldport. By way of background, you had a discussion of this on May 31. You had a first reading on June 14th. On July 19th, you had further discussion, and today was set for the second reading. So I'd commend the board for significant process. The public has had numerous opportunities to comment, and in fact, you've had a lot of comments from the public, which I think is a good thing. The board's allowed that. This is part of an overall process where our code is being rewritten. Under this proposal, the portion in the code called entertainment assemblies will be removed, and this will replace it. Entertainment assemblies was terribly outdated. It didn't correspond to the current law whatsoever. The board has adopted other things, for instance, the organized event ordinance recently. You did homeless camping, and very soon you'll be doing farm and forest. So in addition to all the approvals the board has done regarding taking care of special district matters, the code has been updated significantly, and I commend the board for their work on that. So let's go over. You have a copy. I'll go by page number. I'll go over the changes from the 14th of June. Try to be brief. We added a provision, so if you go to the bottom of page 1, the sections are now 4.405 to 4.510 is the last one. So we added one section, so we had to reflect the LCC is 4.405 to 4.510 in two places. That's at the top, bottom of page 1 and top of page 2. Now, as you know, we have three definitions: extended outdoor mass gathering, and small gathering. And we have amended those. And rather than, in the amendments are all the same. So I'm going to go over what are the amendments in the extended outdoor mass gathering on page 2. So four lines down, it is excluding setup. So the 120 hours that we gauge this by excludes setup, placement, storage. It used to say include. That's how we're going to make this work to the, you know, beloved festival and others. New language has been added that the duration begins on the earlier of when the first attendee can or is anticipated to arrive at the assembly and when the last attendee has left the assembly. That is in all three definitions added at the end. And this language is removed. By this definition, no more than one EMG or MG or SG may be held at the same location within a three-month period. And if you want to know if we get ahead of ourselves, that's written in one place. That's on page 6. A new 13 has been added saying no more than one SG, MG, or EMG may be held at the same location within a three-month period. We're doing that to address. Someone said, well, you could have an SG, but then, you know, small gathering during the three-month period, but it doesn't necessarily mean you can't have one of the others also. And so this makes that clear. So let's finish through the definitions. We've taken care of most of the changes already. Under temporary structure, we added that stages are temporary structures, and that's in response to one of the public comments. So that's on the bottom of page 3. Any questions so far? Okay, I think we're making good progress. Let's go to on page 4. 4.4110 has, it's called exclusions, but there's a section really on waivers there. And what is removed is that MGs or EMGs. So the director may waive all, it'll say the director or hearings body as applicable may waive all or part of the permit requirements for certain limited SGs. Okay, that's small gatherings. Mass gatherings and extended mass gatherings are eliminated. So we're trying to tone down the amount of the ability to do waivers, and that was one of the themes that you had at your last discussion. So that takes care of that. We did include...
Did we add that language that notwithstanding above, there's no waiver of the fire protection standards, or was that already in there?
Yes, that is added. Okay. Notwithstanding the above, there shall be no waiver of fire protection standards. And that completes the changes. Thank you for that section. So we can go a ways without further changes. I already mentioned the one on sub 13, page 6. So let's go to... 4.425, we're already to page 7. The board directed a little more process in regards to the public comments. So there's a new section there on page 7 that says the director shall publish notice of his or her administrative decision for an SG in a newspaper of general circulation in the county within 10 calendar days of the date of his or her decision. That'll give people the opportunity, better opportunity to pursue a matter in circuit court if they wish, because there is some notice given there. So what we do remove, what was there before, is no notice is required in the case of small gathering administrative decisions, because we are doing that notice. Again, we can go a ways without changes, and we will go to page 9. So it's really fairly cosmetic, but in the middle of the page, 4.445, the County Environmental Health Division shall have the responsibility for approving all sanitation and related facilities required by the, it'll say, director or hearings body. That's more cosmetic. We had talked about waivers before, so we removed some language limiting the opportunity to do waivers. And so if you go to the bottom of the page, 4.450, That's on the fire protection standards. We removed unless waived by the director or hearings body. So it's just going to say no small gathering, mass gathering, or extended mass gathering permit shall be granted unless, and so on. So there's no opportunity for a waiver directly under that. We did that in two other places. So in 4.460 on page 10, we removed, if required by the director or hearings officer, the organizer must submit plans for public safety. You just do it anyway. So we removed that, the direction of the board. And the final one is 4.465, and we're already to page 11. We're removing, if required by the director or hearings body. We just say on parking facilities prior to or on the date of application, the organizer shall provide a scale drawing and so on the parking. So we remove that. If we go to page 11, on the bottom, the permit display, and then we added and set up a cleanup requirement. So these provisions on page 12 are new, a sub 4 and a sub 5. All on-site activities required to prepare the assembly site must occur within 72 hours prior of the advertised time the assembly is scheduled to begin. The director or hearings body may, upon a showing of necessity, allow preparation to begin more than 72 hours before the advertised time of the assembly. But those activities are limited to setup only and not commercial vending, rehearsals, or sound checks. All the facilities shall be in place at least 2 hours before the small gathering, mass gathering, or extended mass gathering begins. And then five, the organizer must remove and repair all remaining residue, debris, or damage to property resulting from the assembly 72 hours after termination of the assembly. So that is added. Now, there is a little bit of overlap so that sub 3 that had been on 4.475 is eliminated. All the small gathering, mass gathering, or extended mass gathering facilities shall be in place a sufficient time, but not less than 2 hours before the small gathering, mass gathering, or extended mass gathering for which an application is submitted and approved, and shall be subject to inspection by the county, provided, however, that such inspection shall not relieve the organizer of responsibility for proper placement of all facilities. It is eliminated as being somewhat duplicative. Okay, so let's go to 4.480. This was a discussion of the board regarding hours of operation. Remember, you had some public comment. What do we do about this? And the board decided to simplify it. And I think there was a compromise on this. So the way it reads now is that no small gathering, mass gathering, or extended mass gathering shall be conducted, including setup, placement, storage, staging, removal, or similar action of any equipment, materials, structures, vehicles, supplies, and so forth. And then here's the critical part. Between the hours of 1 a.m. and 9 a.m., you just put it straight out. And that was the vote, and I think a compromise. Before, it was complicated because we talked about within 1,000 feet of any residence between the hours of 12:01 a.m. and 9 a.m. and in all other areas between the hours of 2 a.m. and 8 a.m. So you just eliminated that complication and the dual possibility, and you have those hours in. So any questions about that part? So you got the hours taken care of. We eliminated if written consents for the small gathering, mass gathering, or extended mass gathering from neighboring property owners and residents are submitted with the application, the director or hearings body may modify these hours in the permit. I think you could see that if written consents. Well, someone could always say, did you get everybody, or what about, you know, why did you take that group of people, and so on. But that part is eliminated under the proposal. Just a few more things, and we're there, and I appreciate it. So on page 13, sub 6, so it used to say, it was talking about maintaining an action, that we can maintain an action in any court of general jurisdiction to retain, restrain or enjoin any violation. And before it said, it gave the ORS, and I said any violation of this ordinance, because we're really talking about the ordinance rather than the statute, and you can do that anyway under the statute. So there's a change. On page 14, the board added this, review of the ordinance. Prior to December 31, 2018, the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners shall review this ordinance for possible amendments. So that's the last change. I appreciate the opportunity to go through those. This is like a hearing, so the board should see if there's any public comment on it, and then if you have any questions of me or of the ordinance, just let me know. Thank you.
You're welcome to stay there, I think, in case of deliberation we may have questions. Anyone that would like to make public comment at this time, please come forward.
Commissioners, Louise Soliday from Tidewater, Oregon. I just mostly want to say thank you. With one exception, I'm very pleased with the direction that this ordinance is going, and that one exception is having amplified music going until 1 a.m., but I've been around the legislative process long enough to know you don't get everything you want. with that, I want to thank some folks. I first want to thank Anno and Wayne, who had to deal with the complaint that we filed back in 2014, and they worked pretty quickly to shut down what was being run as an event center at Tidewater Falls, and I really appreciate the work they did in working with the landowner up there to help him understand what the law allowed and what it didn't allow. I want to thank Jerry for being so receptive to comments from the public. He was always polite to me on the phone, wanted to know what I had to provide in terms of input, and was really receptive to making changes to the ordinance, which I think have improved it. And then I want to thank all of you, the commissioners, for taking this issue up and putting this ordinance in front of yourselves and the public. I think it's a great step for the county and will help manage these large events going forward. So thanks.
Thank you.
So is there any other public comment? Seeing none, we'll move to deliberation.
I have one question, and I'm not an attorney, and I'm thankful for that. But I do have a question on page 2, line 2.
Okay.
And again, maybe I'm not an attorney, but it says, as used in LCC 4.405 to 4.05. Oh, never mind.
Okay.
Okay. Sounds like that would answer.
We added one other provision.
I guess I can't read either.
It's been a long meeting.
Okay. I thought the numbers were the same. Gosh. Okay.
Billy.
No questions, no comments. It's been a long process, but I think it's been a productive process, and I'm pleased with this outcome, and I'm ready to move forward if you gentlemen are.
I'm comfortable with it.
Well, mass gatherings aren't as common, but I heard you becoming more common in rural parts of the state. I think we're doing the right thing. I think we've done the best we can. Thank you, Jerry, for working through this, because it's a lot of counties haven't done it.
Yeah.
And I think that now that we've done it, we can lay out a fairly good road work for other rural counties to take this and adapt it to their own county, but it's a step in the right direction. So thank you for your work, and with that, I agree. What's the procedure?
Mr. Chair, and I apologize. Normally I'd say you could go ahead and adopt this today, but we don't have, since our recorder Tanya is not here, we got to get an ordinance number, and I don't know what the ordinance number is going to be. So what I'd like to do is put it on next week's agenda. We'll just put it on for adoption.
Okay.
And we'll get it adopted next week. I apologize.
You say we'll put that under the consent calendar?
No, it'll be an action item because you have to make a motion.
Okay.
Specifically on this ordinance, but we'll get it adopted next week.
Okay. Now we move down to item B, request to legalize Ocean View Drive, County Road 813 from the center line of 4th Street, southerly and easterly to the westerly right-of-way line of Pontiac Street.
That's correct to say.
Don't ask me to exactly understand when you go east-west and then turn directions in the middle of it. Where you're at.
That's why we have surveyors and public works directors to write the descriptions. And why the orders, you notice all these orders, it's always Exhibit A. I never try to recopy these descriptions. I rely on there.
I'm Roy Kenyon, Lincoln County Public Works Director. And the reason for that description is, it, in reality, if you're headed south on Ocean View along the ocean, you run eventually into the Ahotsk River that forces you to take a left and head east.
So, Commissioners, we had the discussion on this. I think Roy answered your questions last week. This is the formal order that we're asking you to adopt today, which will commence the process of legalizing that area as described in the exhibit.
So, again, it's just commencing the process, so I'm comfortable with it.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt this order initiating the request to legalize Ocean View Drive, County Road 813, from the center line of 4th Street, southerly and easterly to the westerly right-of-way line of Pontiac Street.
And I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. We've done item C, so we move down to a rate schedule for North Lincoln County Sanitary.
Commissioners, last week you had a presentation from Tina and Lon French on the report, uniform rate reporting for report for the North Lincoln County Sanitary franchise for the unincorporated areas of North Lincoln County. And they presented to you a great deal of information and a review of their annual rate structure, which includes a proposed increase that would go into effect on September 1. So I prepared for you an order which would put that into place. I'm going to do this off the top of my head in my memory. I hope I'm pretty close. My recollection is for a single can once a week service, it was an increase of about 4.7%. Mm-hmm. Ring the bell. I think that's what it is. But the actual rates are noted in the order that will go into effect September 1.
Take a motion, I guess.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve this order adopting the new rate schedule for North Lincoln Sanitary Service in North County.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. We move down to E, receiving engineering report relating to the petition for a local road improvement pavement project on East Alder Springs Road and directing the notice issue to the owners of each of the parcels of land to be assessed.
Commissioners, if I might, Public Works Director Kenyon can talk to you about the specific project. You may recall this was an emergency project we had to do on Alder Springs. That included, at the time we did this, and you may recall the meeting we had, the Commissioners meeting right after the joint meeting in Depot Bay, in which we had representatives from Alder Springs there. One of the things that we wanted to do is, even though this is a local access road for an emergency project, is we really wanted to get them to commit to assisting us in whatever way they could to pay for this project. This is what we've come up with, is we're actually going to do an LID, and we got a petition with signatures to do that. We're doing a little bit differently than we normally would because the project is, and as Roy will explain, the project is complete, and now we're going back in and doing the assessment on it. So usually you have the process, you do this LID process first and then do the improvement, but begin because of the emergency nature and what needed to be done in water work periods, that stuff gets done. So I'll let him explain where we're at with the Alder Springs project.
Like Wayne said, the project was actually completed last week. Went well. The original low quote was at 24.5. We're coming in a little bit higher than that, but we don't have the exact numbers in, but it's not an astronomical number. We're very ballpark on that. The county engineer, Steve Hodge, actually handed over a petition for all of the residents to sign saying that they are in agreement to the process. There are 19 property owners along Alder Springs. there's actually 18 residents. One is a non-resident, or I shouldn't say non-resident. There isn't a home on the property. We got 18 signatures that basically agree that they are willing to take part in the process. And what this does then is it will repay Lincoln County for the cost of this project. And so what we're asking for is for you to agree with this and to allow us to then actually send out official ballots that would go out to each resident for voting. And then from there, we would go and set up the actual LID itself. Now, in the title on this, it talks about paving, and that is actually kind of a carryover from some of our old LIDs that we used to do, because that was primarily what we did. In this case, it was strictly just slide repair. There was no asphalt actually involved in the project.
So, Wayne, do we take a vote on this one?
Yes, we do. Just to let you know that again, we're going to go through the LID process, and the thing that will be a little bit different is we actually know the cost versus, you know, estimating and then doing the project. And Roy, what was the assessment you were looking at, with the expected assessment, so we have at least an idea?
I didn't bring that with me. But when we ran the numbers originally, we ran it on $30,000 for total cost. And at $30,000, we're looking at... it would be $1,578 per resident. And we were looking at stretching that out over 10 years. And so math would say that $157 a year is what is going to be the cost. Now, that was, like I said, an estimate at $30,000.
Yeah.
We're going to be...
It's close enough.
We're going to be somewhere in that neighborhood. And I also want to add that LIDs used to be a norm for the road department. Road districts, groups of people in a residential area would come to the county with a petition and request for this work to be done. The county would front the money with the expectation of repayment. Several years ago, we actually stopped doing these types of LIDs, mostly because the road department did not have the money to front the project. It just wasn't financially possible. We're not going back into that business. This was a one-time shot. It was an emergency. It was a dead-end road. And we explained all that to you before. And there is no expectation at this point in time that we would do this again. If we were forced into it and there was an actual emergency, we would take a good hard look at it, but we're going to do it case by case. We're not setting any precedents here, and we're not going back into business of LIDs.
I'll take a motion.
Just answered my question. I'll move for approval to receive the engineer's report relating to petition for a local road improvement paving project LID on East Elder Springs Road, and directing that notice issue to the owner of each parcel of land to be assessed.
I'll second the motion.
It's Alder, not Elder.
Alder. Yeah.
So when I get that right, yeah.
Sorry. Did I say Elder?
You say Elder.
Oh, no. It's East Alder.
Yeah. Okay.
I run up Elders.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. I understand. It's an easy mistake to make. They're both brushed.
Yeah. Good point.
So we move now to discussion and information awarding the jail painting contract to a Collaborative Construction Solution LLC, the total of $96,594. The project started on September 1st, 2017. Start date is just a few days.
That's right, because it's weather dependent, and so this is something that we would really like to get done before the fall rains.
What's the estimated time frame?
You know, I don't know. I know that there was a lot of manual labor involved in this. There's 200 and some jail windows that they have to hand scrape around and remove the caulking and re-caulk. But I believe Jack Jack Whaley, the facilities maintenance supervisor. He believed that this most likely could be done by the first week or two of October, weather permitting.
And
it does need it. And short story on this is the county did go out and solicit bids for this project and received zero qualified bids. This Collaborative Construction Solutions, if you remember, they're the contractor that actually received the jail lobby remodel contract. Because they were there, and because they actually do have the ability to do the painting, they were asked to give a quote. They gave a quote that was slightly higher than what the estimate was, but it was explained and slightly overlooked about the length of time it's going to take to prep all the windows. If we do not do this project this year, we're probably going to suffer additional water damage this coming winter. And if you take into account what it's going to cost to fix the water damage that most likely will happen because it's already leaking, we found that out coming out of last winter that we had these leakage issues, I think it all comes out in a wash. And so the money is in the budget. Jack has confirmed that we can cover the $96,000. He also said that the contractor is ready to get started. The September 1st start date really is only a couple weeks away. They're already in the process of mobilizing here to start the jail lobby remodel, and so I think that the start date is not an issue.
So if I look at both commissioners, it doesn't surprise me at all that we're having anything in the area of 10 to 15-20% cost increases over what's expected. And right now with the building boom basically going on in this state, that's a reasonable amount. You can see how many contractors came rushing through this project. If you've tried to catch a contractor to do any work, you're lucky if you can get him to even answer your phone call right now.
Yeah.
So I think my opinion in this case is, especially considering the potential for increased damage, we should move forward with this.
Well, the mere fact we got no qualified bids the first go around is indicative of the environment as far as these types of construction projects. So I think this is pretty reasonable under the circumstances.
I'm in favor of going forward as well. Could I ask one question?
Sure.
The jail opened in 1992, and I don't recall it ever having been repainted since then.
I think one time.
Yeah. Was it? Or was
oh,
it
we had. Well, yeah, we actually we okay. did it. Remember, because initially when built, we had problems with leakage.
That's right.
So we actually did, okay. And that took a few years to go through, in which we did a whole new, I can't even remember the term, plastomateric covering on the area there and repainted it. So,
okay,
yeah,
we've done some.
There was some extensive work done.
Okay, I remember the work on the windows because of the leakage, but yeah. I didn't realize
there hasn't been anything recently.
Yeah.
And considering the fact that it has west and south exposure,
exactly.
You can see the ocean from the roof.
Anybody just looking at the building can see it's in need.
What's the procedure on this?
Well, if there's a consensus to move it forward, what I'll do is I'll prepare an order for the consent calendar for next week, which authorizes the Public Works Director to enter into the contract and move forward on this project.
Yeah, I don't know if it's worth noting, but painting of the jail exterior might be an additional word.
Oh, jail painting contract.
Yeah.
It's usually where
they say. Oh, on the agenda, it just says awarding the jail painting contract.
The order will reflect the specific
specifics
that are in here, the material.
Okay. Because we know the interior painting is done regularly by inmate labor.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Okay. We'll make that happen.
We'll put that on next week's calendar.
Okay. Under reports, we have elected officials' reports. We have a small business development center. Let's move him forward. That matters. In case you guys didn't know, Merkley's in town at 11 o'clock. So,
yeah.
you're welcome to take your stuff, but I didn't know if you guys knew.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got an invite. It's on my calendar.
All right. Well, he's missing out by not being here.
That's what I have. He should be here.
And I hope it's not a mass gathering that he's putting together right now. So my name is Dave Price, and I thank you for this opportunity to present to you an update of the Small Business Development Center at Oregon Coast Community College. I don't want to bury the lead. The Lincoln County Board of Commissioners has for years now provided $30,000 in funding from economic development funds, I believe lottery dollars, to fund the SBDC, most specifically our small business management program. Once upon a time, we took our part-time small business management coordinator to full-time, and that remains so. We've had unbroken funding since that point, and our small business management coordinator was here earlier, Misty Lambrecht, to report and answer questions, and thank you for that.
Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
Just because he brought it up, is this video poker money or is this lottery dollars?
It's video poker.
They're the same.
Yeah, same. Are they both under the same?
Yeah.
Well, I thought the one was
this is our
specific.
The 2.5% share that we had.
So I stand corrected. I was not sure on that.
I always thought it was video poker. I've always encouraged people to... No, I'm just kidding. really, it's both. It's general lottery as well.
No, I'm
well,
let's don't worry about it.
Yeah, the legislature is tinkered with that a bit.
Because the way we fund it, I know where it comes out of on the fund. I can't tell you for sure what monies go into that fund.
Right.
That's all I'll have to look at.
We could talk about that in the future. That would be interesting.
It'd be an interesting subject. Yeah. Really bring, I think there's some mixing of those kinds of funds.
Yeah. Either way, we appreciate the support. Yeah. And I'm sorry Misty couldn't
stay. I'm glad we have it to give it to you.
but I will tell you that she left because she had a 10:30 appointment with one of our clients. This is summer, and this is when we recruit for the Small Business Management Program. Also, I have to apologize to Commissioner Doug Hunt. I wanted to call him out because he was he's kind enough to serve on our advisory committee for the SBDC. And I met with him just recently and basically gave you this presentation, so feel free to take off. See Senator Merkley.
Pressure is always welcome.
Okay. And finally, I want to thank Commissioner Hall for delivering the commencement address at our Small Business Management graduation ceremony in the spring, in June. So moving forward, I'm just going to get cooking here. I understand we're pressed for time. Very quickly, it's been 2 years since I've addressed you on other topics, but not an SBDC recap. So what I've done is collapse 2015 and 16 together. I believe you have this document. Mm-hmm. I have more metrics I could share as well. I picked the six most common yardsticks that we use. Basically, over the course of the last 104 weeks, at least through those 2 years, we saw 113 different clients for more than 5 hours. That's 2, 3, 4, sometimes more counseling sessions. These are people who have a business plan and have issues that they're working on, pursuing funding, looking to purchase a competitor, dealing with other issues, HR issues that can be long and drawn out. And they've come back for repeated counseling sessions. And all of these hours, by the way, are free of charge to those business owners and entrepreneurs. And then there are 342 counseling clients that we saw less than 5 hours. And these folks might just have one issue. They might have one question. They might be in and out. We might see them again, but in total, our total contact is less than 5 hours with them. About 70% of our clients that we see in either one of those categories are new ventures. They are existing businesses. 30% of our clients, just under a third of our clients, and this number is steady as a rock, year in, year out, are pre-venture when they first walk in the door. Some of them become venture. They launch while they're in the relationship with the SBDC. There is an impression in some areas, in some parts of the state, that the SBDC deals with people who might one day start a business. In Lincoln County, it's quite the opposite. Most of our clients are already in business, and some have been for generations, in the case of some. In the course of the last 2 years, we had 135 different training events, more than 1,000 people, 1,042 folks attended those. One out of every 46 people in the county is one way to slice that number. capital infusion. Our clients reported to us with an impact validation form that we are required to collect with a signature from a client before we ever report any of these numbers to you or anyone else, including our partners at the SBA, that we help them through business planning and applications and working with sources like the Oregon Cascades West Council of Governments and local banks to secure over $1 million in capital. And they've also told us with this very same form that working with us, they were able to retain 82 different jobs that might otherwise not have been retained and create 29 jobs. I'm going to move forward. I invite you, by the way, to fire off questions as we go. At the last slide, I invite questions then too. A very exciting thing I just want to make sure you are aware of. Last year at this time, President Reisling and a search committee secured our first ever full-time business faculty at Oregon Coast Community College. His name is Dr. Alberto Flores. He relocated here in January, lives here full-time, and runs our business program. He also is delivering services in Spanish for the SBDC for the first time ever. I've always been able to provide counseling at no charge to Spanish-speaking clients, but what it means is they sit across from me and then we open up a screen and a translating counselor from another center pipes in, and it's not necessarily the most fluid and comfortable setting for the client, much less the counselor. He's delivering courses in Spanish, Dr. Flores is, 6 Steps to a Better Business. We've delivered that in Newport once. We've delivered it in Lincoln City twice. He's also done this personal outreach to clients. And now he's also recording online videos that will exist for Lincoln County business owners to consult forever. Until they're obsolete, so a couple of years. On social media marketing, search engine optimization, advanced social media marketing. He's working with Misty. Misty's creating the content. Dr. Flores is creating the Spanish, the materials and PowerPoints in Spanish, as well as the voiceovers for this. And these two of them are complete. We have a third in the pipeline. Very exciting. It's the first time we've ever really had more that kind of robust Latino business outreach. And 2 Latino-owned businesses have already committed to the Small Business Management Program for the coming year, in large part because of Dr. Flores' door knocks. Quick update on the digital studio. This was funded by Lincoln County. You folks approved it. It came to you courtesy of the Economic Development Alliance. This is now a 2-year-old project. This is a slide that's actually showing right now in the campuses of Lincoln City and Newport and Walport on our various TV monitors, pointing out that it was funded by Lincoln County. This studio is available to any business owner in Lincoln County, period, to rent at an affordable rate as low as $10 per session. It's theirs to use anytime during business hours. They can also schedule for $20 a session to work with our digital media studio host, who will come in and help them with the equipment and with what they're doing. When we originally pitched this project to the county and to the EDALC, we thought it would be artists, creatives, solopreneurs, and that's it, who would be using it. But we've seen them. We've seen sculptors and painters and artists and sketch artists and photographers. But we've also had chambers of commerce film videos and promotional and featuring other chamber members. We've had radio stations, in particular, Cheryl Harrell at the Boss Radio has actually come up as a business owner, rented the studio, and had other small businesses who would otherwise have to travel to her studio, record radio spots in this studio, and then email them to her. So they're there before she gets back to the office. And so when we say it's available to any business type, we certainly mean it. And we've also had, just as one example of not just artists, one of our frequent users is Robin from Oregon Coast Glassworks here in Newport. And she's shot a lot of inventory at sometimes just to populate her website. But she does the kind of custom, one-of-a-kind glass art that she might get someone who glimpses something on a website or hears about something, or, my mother was just in the studio in your shop in Newport and saw this piece. Would you send me a picture of it? And she will actually run up to Lincoln City, shoot all the angles of that item, and email them to herself and to her client, and then, you know, have an offer or not by the time she gets back here, which is just remarkable. I have to tell the story, too, of PowerFab, which is a bracket manufacturer for construction materials in South Beach, who makes stainless steel brackets. so they won't corrode on the coast. And they sell well, not only here, but throughout, I think he said Florida was their biggest market. And they shot 250 plus pieces in this studio. So it is not strictly artists and creatives. It is manufacturers, it is organizations, it is other types of businesses that are using a studio that you made possible. So thank you for that. Thank you for the iMac lab across the hall that allows people to do very quick video recording and photo recording work in this studio and then walk across the hall, get off the clock, stop paying us $10 a session, and use a public iMac lab to do the editing they need as long as they need. I just wanted to make sure we thank you for that. The Eclipse, hats off to the county and to Ginny Damaris and company for all the work that's been going on for Eclipse Prep. We at the college have been hosting a weekly roundtable on Mondays. We offer people to bring in their own lunch. I'm too cheap to buy lunch, but I do buy out of my own pocket moon pies from Kenny's IGA. Orders them. They're not retailed around here too often, but it's been fun. We've talked about it's not doom and gloom. We just talk about how businesses can take advantage of this opportunity, how they can plan for the challenges it's going to bring, and how we can discuss that. There are certain known unknowns, and as Rumsfeld would say, unknown unknowns that will not come to pass until the actual day. We don't know if there's going to be smoke in Madras. We don't know if there's going to be clouds on the coast. This is an event that, we won't spend any more time on this, but you've been around this block. But it's fascinating to local businesses, I tell you. We hear about it all the time. Small business management, we've touched on it. This is our year-long key service. We have classroom sessions. We have monthly counseling sessions. It is the program that through which I first discovered the SBDC as an SBM client, as a business owner in Lincoln County. We are currently recruiting. Misty is currently, as we speak, meeting with potential clients. Last year, I was thrilled to see we had fishermen. We had working fishermen with their own boats in the SBM program. We had marine-related industries. We had Mike Gatens from Waldport with Shrimp Daddy, his shrimp harvesting company, which is fascinating. This year, Misty is trying to continue that outreach to that segment of our county industry. She's also reaching out to contractors and to logging companies and family-owned timber farms. And so we are trying to be representative of all of the various legs of Lincoln County's economic stool in the SBM program. We have a fourth-generation retailer in the county who is signing up to participate in the SBM program this year. I mentioned two Latino-owned businesses. It's going to be an exciting year, and we've just started recruiting.
What's the cost for that program? I'm sorry.
It retails at $900, but basically, if we have a client out there that is paying cash out of pocket. When I did it, I had to write a $500 check. That's what it cost me. But it would have been $800 because that was the sticker price. But Ron had established a program based on the support of the county, the $30,000 that you provide. We pass that on in every way we can to the client. So if someone's going to be paying cash out of pocket and they don't have any, they don't fall in any other areas where we have certain scholarships that could support. I'm thinking of the Lincoln City Urban Renewal Scholarship, which exists if you have a business in that district, or the Mills Family Scholarship. Just so happens the Mills Ace Hardware family, Roger and Ty Mills, are graduates of the SBM program and have generously donated funds to make it available to more people. But if for whatever reason those are not available to you, we cut $300 off that. And we apply it to, we call it the Lincoln County Grant. And they know exactly where it comes from. I think you heard that announcement at graduation. And I can't tell you how much it's appreciated. Because then they're able to take $200 a term or what have you and make it much more palatable. But they definitely have skin in the game, no matter how we skin that cat. What else was I going to say about funding for that? Well, I'll come back to that, and feel free to fire off any other questions about it. I want to mention a hospitality program. I've had some really interesting conversations lately with Kristen Roslin, owner of the Overleaf Lodge in Yahats, with her husband Drew. They've owned it. They moved here in 1996, the same year a scrappy young newspaper publisher moved here up north. And so it's been really fun talking to them. And They are just amazing folks, and they are working with Melissa Steinman at Waltport High School. Waltport, she's the director of CTE programs and their hospitality and tourism marketing and management program, which is awesome, by the way. Waltport High School sets a lot of bars very high. And anyway, so I've been working with them because they're applying for a Travel Oregon grant that I think they're going to get to extend their hospitality outreach. And as Melissa was telling me, from the Waltport High School perspective, they want to see our South County used. And I'm like, we totally want to use our South County building every hour of the day. And there are certain days that it's completely occupied with medical and nursing assistant programs. And now I've got 6 different non-credit classes in it this coming term alone. But we are finding times that we're going to be able to work with them to deliver a hospitality training program that's internationally certified, actually. We've taught it in Newport and Lincoln City, not in Waltport yet, for the last couple of years. It's a two-session, not four-week, it's a separate program. It is a two-session, video-based, but facilitated instruction with content from the ORLA, the Oregon Restaurant and Lodging Association, and it's called Customer Service Gold, and it arms people with some fundamental customer service tools, which in certain parts of the county, North County certainly, has been a knock against our industry, that we have some shortcomings in customer service, and we want to arm our job seekers with as many tools as they can get. And we also have been partnering. This photo was taken in the Culinary Center in Lincoln City, and that's a test kitchen with TVs and a stage and a full-on restaurant with an ocean view. And Ed Dreistadt at the VCV has been kind enough to say, if you could put together a program and funding, we're going to give you this space to deliver hospitality, culinary, and service training to people from throughout the county. And so we are pursuing that. I was this close to a grant for $22,500 to fund that program starting this winter and continuing for 2 years. Those funds dried up. I didn't get that grant. That was 0-for-1 on that, but the state has some new funding thanks to Representative David Gomberg and the legislature that we may be able to get $20,000 out of them if I can find a 10% local match, which I am pursuing as we speak for that. But I would like to launch that program and dovetail it in with what's happening in Waltport. And so there's some exciting things with hospitality. I just wanted to put that on the table and let you know. If you hear about that in the paper, you heard it here first. And then I want to throw Ron up. You've all heard from Ron at this very table. Ron Spiso, for folks who may not know, is retired. And he, for more than 15 years, was our small business management coordinator. And he worked with Misty for 2 years before handing over the keys to her for that program. And I wanted to mention him because Ron and I spoke briefly on Sunday, and if you've ever had a conversation with Ron, you know that was an hour and a half. He was my coordinator. He was my advisor when I was in the program, so we go way back. He's the guy I handed my $500 check to at the Kernville Steakhouse when I joined. And I wasn't there to eat. I was there to sell him an ad at the time. He was there to sell me. He literally followed me down Highway 101. Anyway, the point is, he is going to be doing some advising for our clients and some of his legacy clients. Just a few hours here and there, but starting this winter. We're very excited about that. He's never going to give up his interest in entrepreneurs in Lincoln County. So he won't be an employee. He'll be an independent contractor. And I don't have a lot of money. As you know, you ate dinner with us that we made in-house with our staff in our own building. So we don't celebrate with a lot of pomp and circumstance. But
and it was a good dinner.
It was a good dinner, yeah. Shirley did a great job. Yeah, but came out of our ovens at the college.
Yeah.
But Ron is going to be great, and he's only going to have a few hours a month, but we're very excited for those clients that he gets to work with. There's our current team. Craig Grant, our lead business advisor, is on the left. He's been with us for more than 13 years. As many of you may know, he's a Fortune 100 HR specialist, and he's just a hitter so heavy. I have to tell people who are about to sit down with him for absolutely nothing that they do not understand the resource that we're putting at the table for them. Again, courtesy the support of the folks like the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners. Shirley Hill, our office manager and North County coordinator now for the college, is also now the Lincoln City Chamber of Commerce president. Misty Lambrecht, of course, SBM coordinator, past Toledo Rotary Board president, and lots of different connections down there, and yours truly. Any questions?
Name of the gentleman on the left.
Craig Grant. He used to counsel for the Tillamook Bay Community College SBDC as well as ours. He now spends enough time in Lincoln County that he doesn't serve any other centers. He's exclusively available to our clients, and we couldn't be happier about that.
Okay. Good information.
Great presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And I promise, if you'll have me, it won't be 2 years before you hear from me again.
We will.
Good. It's a deal.
Okay, we move down to commissioner's reports.
I'll pass.
Quickly, I'd like to thank Jenny Damaris and Cinda Bruce, who gave presentations at the Area Commission on Transportation meeting last Wednesday in Toledo in the evening. I know they changed their schedules in an effort to present to our group that night. And second of all, Governor Brown will be making a visit to the Port of Toledo this Friday afternoon.
Okay. Seeing no one here for constituent input, we'll adjourn the meeting to next Wednesday.